July 7th, 2017. It's Bob.
It's Max.
And it's Jacob.
Yes, we have a new friend along with. He's hasn't actually played Magic in about a year. I mean, he was there for
Kaladesh.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He played Kaladesh, but unfortunately your ride to most FNMs disappeared, or was working second shift and then moved to California.
And I was displanted over in a couple towns away.
Oh, that's myself. Right. I mean, we drop names all the time, so don't worry.
Okay.
Anyways, we actually don't have much to talk about.
Well, we think our guest has something to talk about.
You never told me if you got this week, last week's cast.
No, I actually have not had it yet.
I didn't even submit the week before.
No, it's been so a busy week for me with the 4th and not being home, and just got home like basically yesterday.
Where the hell were you?
At my uncle's.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, there's plenty to talk about. I've heard there's a Magic set coming out or something.
I have not looked at any of the spoilers. I didn't even look at any of the invocations.
So I've been you know, perusing around, listening to different things, and I've kind of got a feeling that this set is a little lower par for some formats, but it looks sweet for Commander. We're talking about Hour of Devastation, of course.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think some of the things that are going to slot into Commander decks will just make the format insane.
The thing is, we don't have, like, a Fatal Push or something in this set. Something that isn't, like, a marquee going to change the world as
it's going to change a format.
Right.
Yeah.
But
there's still going to be so much stuff that slots into every Commander deck.
One of the big things that I find interesting about this set, though, is the design of the gods. And a lack of a pseudo-devotion mechanic to them.
They made the announcement, or it seemed like that gods were going to come back, so I thought devotion was going to come back, because I thought that was a very good mechanic.
It definitely
fits the flavor of gods.
Yes, but the new god mechanics of can't attack unless you have no hand, can't attack unless you have 7 cards in hand, can't attack unless you sacrificed a creature.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a cop-out to the god mechanic.
Possibly. I think it may not have been implemented as well, but it does certainly still fit the feel, where if you want their help, if you want their power,
you must be willing to sacrifice.
You must show them tribute, mm-hmm. in one way or another. Whether you have to have you want to be Hexbent, I think is what people are calling it for Hazoret, or a full grip of 7 if you want to attack with Kefnet.
Mm-hmm.
They won't just help any mortal. Right?
Only the truly devoted.
But the interesting thing is actually the Hour of Gods, because if the Almanket gods are a cop-out, there really is no devotion mechanic for the Hour of Devastation gods.
Do you know about the Hour of Devastation gods?
I have a brief understanding. Something to the effect, like, these are the lost, forgotten gods sealed away by Nicol Bolas for eons or whatever.
And they are only in his colors.
Correct, yep.
So, people are saying that they're going to change everything and whatnot. The only one that actually has my interest is the red-blue one.
The blue-black one looks pretty sweet.
Is that,
I just want to play
makes,
blue-black control
make
with
that. Make zombies?
Yeah. Hey, your win cons are my win cons. That Grave Titan still looks fantastic as a 4-4 for 4, you ask me.
I mean...
But no, I'll give you... Having the Locust God in play with the Skull Clamp and a Mana Echo sounds pretty sweet.
I'll draw infinitely.
I'll just... Look, we're doing it live. Niv-Mizzet couldn't show up. We're just doing it live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But the Locust... Like, even the Scarab God... Like, I think the fact that they get around the Commander tax is fantastic. But back to the lore implications. So the fact that they're lacking a devotion-esque mechanic... Does that mean that... I don't know, Nicol Bolas is paying their devotion or something.
I don't think the gods have any allegiance to anybody.
It certainly sounds like that. And what do you think that means for future gods? Do you think future gods will need devotion mechanics necessarily?
What makes
a god a god in Magic now?
It's going to be plane dependent.
Right.
Each plane will have a different definition of a god.
Sure, but if I said, you know, Wizards of the Coast in 2020 is going to print a new command cycle... You don't know what those do, but you have a few expectations, right?
It's
going
to be at least 4 mana.
Not necessarily at least 4 mana. But yeah, the 2/4 instant sorcery kind of game is kind of what you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So, same question. If you found out, knowing nothing about the set, knowing nothing about the mechanics, any of it, but you know in 2020, Wizards of the Coast is going to print another cycle of gods. Like, what do you expect to be some pieces that are basically guaranteed off.
I honestly think that if we're going to do gods again, they're going to have to decide what the community thinks between the new devotion mechanic and the old devotion mechanic, and which one they would like better.
Or the lack of a devotion mechanic.
Yeah, or the lack of it.
Yeah.
Like, we do know one thing has held true. They've had some form of indestructibility. Whether that's, you know, the Theros gods or the Amonkhet Five having indestructible. Or how the new three nameless gods have the return to hand mechanic, which is a really, a quick aside, a really cool way to bring something to the commander format without making something, you know, this, let's make a new partner mechanic that we can't print in a regular set.
Very true.
Like, that is nice. That is a very nice design space, even no matter what you think of the gods.
Not to completely derail, have you been paying attention to any of the leaks for the Commander 17?
Yes, I have seen all. I think I'm up to date with them. The cat god got, or the cat,
yeah, the commander. Cat commander,
the cat mander got yes. spoiled. Yeah, something to the like green one. Are we?
Green white.
Do we talk?
Oh yeah, yeah. We talk freely. Okay. I'm never expecting Wizards to give us a spoiler.
No, I'm more like I'm more asking like, what's the like? Is this a spoiler free kind of tone for your listeners? Okay.
No.
So yeah, the green white cat, and then there's five color dragons and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that caught my eye the most, I think, is actually Tygam. Thank you.
He looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably, like, you could erase the word dragon on him, and I'd feel about the same for the card.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I'm glad that they're putting plants like that in these decks.
Yes.
Even if they're not, even if he's not perfect to what the deck is probably going to be building towards.
What does he do?
So okay. He's 4 mana for a 3/4. Something to the effect of whenever you deal combat damage with him, you get to rebound your spells for the rest of the turn or something?
When you attack.
When you attack. Oh, so he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to deal damage. Oh. When you attack.
That's even better.
Any spells you cast the rest of the turn have rebound.
Yeah, he kind of feels like a blue white. What's that guy from last Commander set? The 4 color, not white guy. The demon. Starts with an M. He's the 5/4 cascade the rest of the turn if you connect.
We know who that is.
Yeah, the Maelstrom wielder.
Maelstrom, whatever. Go, everyone, go on to like Gatherer or your favorite card.
We know which one you're talking about.
Go look it up. Go do the work. He kind of looks like the blue-white nod to that kind of playstyle, where you're sort of doing this blue-white spells matter, something that I've heard blue-white cares a little bit about. And I'm kind of looking forward to what comes out of that, because rebound is a real value-centric mechanic.
Oh, when...
We're picking a Bajor, right?
Yeah. When Dragons of Tarkir showed that rebound was coming back, I really enjoyed it. I had never played with rebound before, but in Dragons, I enjoyed it when I drafted blue-white.
So I started playing during Zendikar block, specifically more heavily during Worldwake, and Rise of the Eldrazi was one of my first sets. I don't think... they didn't do it as well as they did in Rise. You didn't have quite as sweet of rebound spells. They were kind of just limited fodder in Dragons of Tarkir, and that's about it. But hey, I was happy to see it come back, and I'm happy to see it, you know, touch a little bit here in the Commander decks. And speaking of that Dragon Commander deck, there's another reason I like the Dragon inclusion. People love Tribal Dragons.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's one of those
Scion
of those
was
tribes.
The first EDH deck I ever built.
But here's the thing. All of the way the deck looks like it's being constructed is very different from Scion EDH.
Scion
is a combo deck.
Yeah.
Through and through.
No, this looks completely different build.
And it's great that that exists, because there's some people who don't want to play, hey, I got Scion, do you just want to get Molten Steel Dragoned? Because I do. I want that. You know, it's great that that isn't the focus of this deck. Scion's in there, because Scion, of course Scion's going
to
be
in
there.
They have to print it, because it's like a $20 card already.
And it's also one, like, it's the only icon, like, five-color dragon icon. Like,
other than the actual Ur-Dragon.
Right. Which I've heard they at one time said they were never going to print an Ur-Dragon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not as up on my older Magic lore, admittedly.
Well,
I get bits and pieces here and there.
Wizards can't decide what they want to do anymore.
Right, and that's...
Like, I've said it before. I said it when Wizards announced that every set was going to have Masterpieces/Expeditions. People were going to get burnout, and that's what happened.
It's not even just people got burnt out. You also start to run dry, especially when you're forced to fit to a certain...
Well, that's what happened with Amonkhet, they didn't have a cohesive theme for them. They just kind of had all these iconics.
It's not even just they didn't have the theme for them. The theme that they did pick, the sort of beat you down control-y sort of thing didn't lend itself that well to picking expensive cards that can be these huge chase things. Like,
and then,
like, look at the previous two. You've got the Zendikar lands. I've heard lands can be pretty expensive in some formats.
Then you have artifacts that can fit into anything.
And plenty of expensive artifacts that fit out there. Like, there's three types of cards that generally are expensive in Magic. Lands, artifacts, and blue cards.
Okay.
More or less. You know, you've got your Lillian Veils or whatever.
But also what happened with the invocations is that border.
I didn't mind the border. I think it looked better in paper, but I will say I think they tried too many things at once.
The border should not have happened. They should have just done a complete full art.
I agree. I think they should have made the art more prominent. I think the biggest detriment about them, I think the worst part about them isn't the border, though. I think it's the text box in the name, the name and the type line, excuse me.
The hieroglyphic attempt on top of that border.
Yes, it's just too much. It's too much, it gets muddy, it takes away from the card.
Well, when Aaron Forthlake came out and said, this was done intentionally, my first thought was, how fucking thick-headed are you? People already have a hard enough time reading cards. Now you're intentionally making them harder to read?
Right, like, I think it, in one of Mark Rosewater's articles, he mentioned how there's a push and pull to design, where you want to fit a certain theme, but you also don't want that to detract from the game. Because, end of the day, that's what this is. It's a card game.
Yeah.
People need to be able to play it. And I think they pushed a little too hard on the theming gas pedal, and the play style, the play of them suffered, right? Fortunately, I will say, they, of all the places they could have made this blunder, I think the Masterpiece series is one of the better spots. The Masterpiece series is, you know, it's a set of cards not intended for new players learning cards and learning mechanics. It's a series for enfranchised players who, like, everyone in this car could probably ramble off what Forbid does. I don't need to read what it says. You know, Blood Moon, whatever invocation you want. I would say, for the most part, we probably could do all of them in the car off the top of our heads. So, for us,
it's not a big deal.
It, you know, it's maybe a bit of an eyesore, like how I prefer the Modern Masters 2015 Cryptic Command over the original, just because it looks nicer. I don't need to read it.
Because of the formatting.
Right, exactly. And that's something aesthetic. And sure, these are kind of missing on that. But hey, at least they messed up here, rather than having, I don't know, like
a full set to be destroyed by this text line.
Or even just like one major player in Standard that they misprinted accidentally.
I mean, Wizards already was punting on Standard.
Yeah, well, I've heard with this latest banning, Standard might be where it's supposed to be.
It's where it's supposed to be. What they should have done is kept the 6-month rotation.
Yes, hey, and no. Hi, AJ.
Let me stick this in the trunk here.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
They should have stuck with it for at least one rotation.
I agree.
Oh, my God.
Does he not know how to open
Hey, there we go. He is smart enough.
Round of applause, everyone.
You got there.
Come on, AJ. AC's on.
I definitely think that the 6-month rotation is better for the format, but is it better for the players?
AJ. What's Jacob, up? Jacob, hi. This is AJ.
I think I've met.
Did you have the unfortunate chance of going to LGG at some point?
Yeah.
It's been about a year.
Where do you think we met him from it?
Yeah, I used to. Anyway.
you probably have met.
We're talking the blunders of Amonkhet, though.
Which blunders?
All of them.
Hey, you know, go nuts.
The invocation.
I mean,
that's where we were at.
It's been a year, roughly, since Jacob has done much magic.
Nothing that's less than a rare being of anything of value.
And that's, again, to the Masterpiece series in a large... largely. Also, this product is... Amonkhet has been fairly well opened. Again, looking for those Force of Wills, I guess.
No.
No.
I don't know.
I've already traded for one Force of Will, and I'm not trading for any more of them.
I feel you on that.
They are
It's
ugly.
Probably more that it... I've heard it's a good format for draft.
I've played it. I do not like it at all.
Not a fan?
No.
I don't know. Cycling's pretty sweet.
Cycling is... The problem is, there's not enough cyclers.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you get two or three in your draft pool.
Yeah, but that sarcophagus or whatever from Amonkhet,
that's going to be a bomb draft.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of draft that dreams are made of.
Does anybody need to have dinner yet?
I haven't eaten.
Yeah, I just woke up.
Nice.
I work third shift.
Also, maybe not. Possibly.
Did you ever get your car over to my brother-in-law's house, AJ?
No, I keep asking. I poked him and asked when a good time is.
Okay. Well, tomorrow he's planning on going to the Monster Truck Rally at Walworth County.
All right.
Fairgrounds. I don't know what he's doing Sunday, so you might want to try messaging him, like, tomorrow morning.
All right, yeah.
Be like, do you want me to drop it off Sunday morning?
Yeah, I do work Saturday night, so.
What time do you work till? Six?
I work from technically, well, I work from midnight to 8, but technically 11:30 to 8:30.
Okay, that's overtime.
Well, that's times I leave and get home.
Well, that's not work then, that's drive time.
Yeah.
So you could drop it off by like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So as far as the new gods, though, I don't think we really touched on the Scarab God.
Which one is that?
That's the black-red one.
That's the black-red.
No, I'm sorry. Scarab Locust. What's the one I'm... Is that the right
Scorpion?
One? Scorpion, thank you. I was incorrect.
I don't remember what he does.
One. Yeah. He's 5-mana 6/6, I want to say. What is it? Like you draw a card or something whenever a -1/-1 counter's placed.
Let AJ pull him up.
It's got like an activated
I'd pull
up ability.
My phone, but I'm driving.
That's fair. You probably shouldn't.
You've been very quiet, Max. Are you feeling out of your league?
He's lost in thought, man.
No, it's just I don't. If I don't need to talk, I don't talk.
Are you sure you know Max?
I'm sensing.
No, trust me. He knows me.
Look.
I'm sensing a repeat of Columbus tonight.
I mean, possibly. Look. Max is lost in thought. I'm not saying he's thinking of anything, but he is definitely lost.
AJ, we had to put up with this.
You remember the guy?
Our car ride.
You remember how we said that there was a guy that perfectly like just hated me the full way down.
Hated.
Well, I just say hated is in like a way.
He ripped.
We're gonna get along fine.
Every time Max opened his mouth, Jacob just had a perfect comeback.
Yeah, the Scorpion God is. A red and a black and 3 colorless. Whenever a creature is with a -1/-1 counter and dies, draw a card. One a black and a red. Put a -1/-1 counter on another target creature. When it dies, return it to its owner's hand. Beginning of next end step, and it's a 6/5.
So it's got a cool design and something that you know doesn't exactly.
Wait, 6/5 in 6/5 indestructible.
6/5 rebuys it or comes back to your hand when it would die.
Oh, okay.
But indestructible light.
Yeah, incredible light. With 5 mana?
Yes.
That's
so,
that horrible.
You know, it can knock you around real quick.
This has a 6/5 factor.
It's going to ping off any X1 right away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, like, my only thing with it, it kind of feels like it's in the wrong colors. It doesn't feel like it's the feeds on death colors, like black-green would be.
Like, no, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I did notice that the rotative colors did kind of happen.
And going to what you're saying, Max, the issue there is it's missing trample or haste or flying.
Something traditionally red.
Something, something that can get that damage in some form or facet.
But that's what all these new gods are missing.
To some extent.
They're missing keywords.
Yes, but I don't think the other two need them.
No, they're missing ways of getting damage through.
The Locust God's tokens have haste and flying.
Locust God doesn't have flying.
His
tokens have haste and flying, and he is flying.
Even if the Locust God was an enchantment, though, his tokens have haste and flying.
Right.
So that's fantastic. That's enough keywords for me. I'm satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm.
As for the Scarab God, his he makes tokens out of the best things in any graveyard. And with Commander being a multiplayer format, I'm sure you can find something.
He has pick of the litter, and especially in those colors, you have just about all the board wipes.
And turning anything. Not even just board wipes, windfalls too in those colors.
Yeah.
Turning anything into a 4-mana 4/4 with all of their everything else.
Well,
can
with
be
all,
a fantastic
all their other
deal.
Abilities.
Yeah. Like, this might be living the dream a little too hard, but imagine Nulamog reanimating out of the graveyard and 20-ing someone's library on your 4-mana 4/4. Right?
But yeah, because that's not completely crazy.
It doesn't even have to be that extreme of an example, though. My Grave Titan example is a perfectly reasonable one.
Oh, yeah. Keep reanimating Grave Titan, getting more 2/2s.
End of your turn. I'm going to exile your Grave Titan out of your graveyard. Now you no longer get it. I get it as a 4-mana 4/4, effectively.
And 2/2s.
And 2/2s. And it attacks on my turn now that it's going into my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
That does seem kind of fun to play.
It doesn't, and it doesn't even have to be a zombie, although that's a great example of when it's a sweet zombie commander, but
yeah,
it, the Scarab God doesn't even have to be a zombie commander. I just want to play in blue-black control and just be like, all right, it's time to win the game. Here's a big boy that doesn't die. Good luck.
What are you going to stick into the grave and pull out?
Well, as he was saying,
you have all the black removal and board wipes, creature wipes, and then you have all the blue windfall effects of making people discard their hands and put more stuff in the graveyard for
them. And the thing about symmetrical effects is when you build for them, you don't hurt as bad from them. And it shows on this commander. He's perfect for that, too.
Yep.
Because he doesn't stay dead from your damnation. You know, he... Sure, he. It's a little bit of a non-bow if you windfall when he's in your hand, I guess, but don't do that.
I mean, commander should never be in any place but the battlefield or the graveyard.
Right.
Or
back to your hand after it comes back.
Yeah.
And so long as you're smart about how you're casting your spells, you're never going to goozle yourself with a windfall. Your opponents might, but hey, you're in the colors of reanimation and...
Well, you also have blue for counterspells.
What?
You also do have blue for counterspells.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure you can find a way that even if you find yourself on the back foot with your commander in your graveyard as your main win condition... Sure, you can figure. Actually, no. Isn't the
you can't goes, you can't get your commander in your graveyard?
Yeah,
if it returns your hand, you can return it to the
And then I guess you have to pay the tax like a normal person.
Oh no!
Not like that. You didn't invent Soul Ring. Soul Ring wasn't invented for no reason. What?
I mean, it was banned online for a while, which was the only magic I've been able to play in the last few months. So.
Well, you know they split that today. It was.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Okay.
I think no, it was with the update on Wednesday.
So they but they split it. They actually now have two.
It's back to normal.
Thank God.
Josh will be excited too because all of us had the ceremonial Soul Ring removal a few months ago.
Is Josh playing on Modo or?
He's got Jaya together ish. Okay. I have the four color commander that I still haven't remembered his name, but you guys have all looked it up by now.
Yeah, Ydris. Maelstrom Wielder.
Ydris, that's his name. It's the Y Man. It just does not sound like it how you should start a name.
I wanted to build him for heads up.
So I built him. Built around the Cascade for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But one game I had a hand where I got Waste Knot and Windfall effects, and
oh,
I'm like,
God.
Well, oh, and Notion Thief. There was also Notion Thief in that
That's
deck.
What I've got to put. I got to put a Waste Knot into Nekuzar.
And I'm like, well, Leovold's banned, but...
Haven't. I completely forgot about that card.
It's so good, man.
Really?
But yeah, no.
It wasn't mine, right, but I switched to combo build, so...
Yeah, no, I ended up with a hand with Waste Knot, Notion Thief, and a bunch of Windfalls, and I'm like, well, Ydris, you can just take the seat. I got it from here. And I kind of just zombied the board and no one had hands. And the game ended pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Windfall's a hell of a card, guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That,
both
if you name these podcasts?
A little bit.
Well, we try to if we can. But you realize both me and Bob play Nekuzar right now.
I've been familiar with the Nekuzar deck since before Nekuzar was printed.
Thank you, Hammerstrom.
So, back when it was colloquially known as the Meat Spin deck.
It still is.
Is it
still is Meat Spinner.
Is that still what the circle calls it? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is kind of what it is.
We've kind of made our own circle at Extreme.
Gotcha.
And, like, if you didn't notice, I'm wearing their t-shirt because they cut me deals on stuff.
Hey, Max, they're hiring.
Ooh, there you go, Max.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to punch you for that comment, really. Like, how the fuck am I going to get down to Antioch?
Without a car.
Without a car.
Walking is healthy.
But to give you a clue, Jacob.
What time are they open?
It wasn't last week. It was the week before. I picked up Feast and Famine, Defense Grid, Gauntlet of Might...
Is that a Feast and Famine of the Sword variety? Or
yes.
A Feast and Famine of the Split Card
no,
variety?
No, the Sword. I was going to say, I picked up four Masterpieces, and it was only $100.
Damn. And those got some pretty borders, too, the ones you listed, I think. I stopped listing.
They were the artifact borders.
Okay.
Yeah, man,
look,
Sword of
look, you
Feast
had me at
Famine,
Feast and Famine. Don't laugh.
Feast and Famine, Defense Grid, Gauntlet, and Rings of Bryhearth.
Can I just say the mistakes of the Amonkhet Masterpiece border are the, like... Kaladesh border, though, was...
They did too much for...
Oh.
Well, again...
Yeah, I want to play Magic, not Yu-Gi-Oh!
Well, that's the thing. It was the first thing coming that Bob's like, hey, did you see the new invocations? I'm like, when the hell did they start printing Vanguard again?
I stand behind
changing the name and type lines would do wonders, if nothing else.
Oh yeah, to this. Getting rid of the hieroglyphics.
If you just did that, I don't think any people would be like, these are a little over-designed, but hey, it's Amonkhet. Welcome to Egypt.
I mean, if they left the hieroglyphics and shrunk the borders and made the art more prominent than the border, than the frame.
I still think you'd have problems. I think the biggest problem is you can't read the name and type line.
See, the name and type line...
If you're going to keep the hieroglyphics, at least start the name at the left-hand side of the card.
Yes.
I'm an American, I eat steak, and I read from left to right. I don't start in the middle. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
unless
just...
you're Max, in which case...
Do you have Twitter, Jacob?
I do.
Do you follow Proxy Guy?
I do.
Proxy Guy did it right. He did it right. Literally 10 minutes after they spoiled, I think it was Force of Will.
He's
like, this is what it should have been, and it just looks amazing.
Yeah, he just did one of those wizards, hold my beer. I got
this. Yes, and he made wizards look like kindergartners.
I will say this, though. For as much as I dislike some of the choices on them, I'm happy that Wizards tried it.
I'm not.
I would prefer Wizards trying things and failing than never trying something at all.
I mean, something like this, though, it was just such a failure.
But you could also look at it as Wizards product testing what is and is not good about this invocation.
They've already done that with Future Sight. That Future Sight border?
And people love the Future Sight border.
But they're done with it, even though it has a resounding positive vibe to it.
It's not the future yet. Gotta wait for the future, man.
You should have expected that one.
Come on, like, Magic Digital next, right? That's the future.
Oh, yes, they're doing an in-house Duels of the Planeswalker game.
Yeah, and that's when they'll bring the Future Sight border. And Mark Rosewater will get on his blog and be like, see, guys? See? See?
The problem with Mark Rosewater, he can't make up his mind which way he wants to go.
Yeah.
I love that he's so vocal and compassionate about Magic. The problem is...
I think it's more that they take in too much feedback and do things too quickly.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
Because, like, right now, he's pushing for Chris Pakula to get into the Hall of Fame.
I think he should.
The problem is, Chris Pakula had his chance back in 99.
Yeah.
And instead, Mark Rosewater pushed for Mike Long, the villain of Magic. And Mike got in.
Whether or not that's a mistake, though, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that Chris Pakula should be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. I totally agree. But Mark Rosewater is a hypocrite, is what I'm trying to say.
Or he learned and sees things from a different light. Like, I admittedly don't know too much of that era of Magic, competitive Magic, other than it was basically the Wild West. And everything goes so long as you didn't get caught?
Yep, that's the way it was.
But, like, sure, he might have pushed for the wrong person. Maybe he was lacking information or knowledge or listening to hearsay. I don't know. I'm not Mark Rosewater. I'm not as adorable. I can't pull it off. But what I will say, you know, is he's right. Chris Pakula does certainly deserve it.
No,
like,
because Chris Pakula, we have deckless registration.
Yeah. And like, my understanding, too, is he's one of the people who pushed for cleaning up Magic.
Yeah, Chris Pakula was the big voice saying, if this is going to be taken seriously, we need honesty and integrity.
Right. It's kind of like when... I'm so bad with names. Brazilian Magic player, Willie Adel.
Okay.
When Willie Adel got into the Hall of Fame, he didn't just get in the Hall of Fame due to the fact that he's a heckin' good Magic player. It's also because he kind of, more or less, is the father of Brazilian Magic, to put it simply, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Pakula has some of that. He's not Brazilian, but he has done a lot for the game in other ways. And he's got, what, like 3 Pro Tour top 8s?
It's something like that, where he's literally right on the edge, where either he has to top an 8 a Pro Tour, or he's going to be off the ballot.
And that also leads to an interesting discussion that I saw on Twitter. There, some pros were discussing whether or not Chris Pakula's top 8s count as well as current day top 8s.
Yes, and that I think is
Where
bullcrap.
Do you guys stand on, huh?
Top 8 is a top 8.
I mean, don't necessarily agree that way, but I do agree with the intent of what you're saying. I don't think they're the same set of skills, but it's certainly... It's a different world that Chris Bakulatov aided in. Would I say that, you know, how refined decks are nowadays? They're certainly way more refined, way more streamlined, and stronger decks nowadays. Probably.
No, not even close.
Well, hold on.
Because don't forget, Chris Bakula was top 18 when there was Black Winter with Necro.
Yes. I'm going to circle back here. I'm going somewhere with this.
Well, we're almost to get food.
Oh, okay. Well,
just
clean it up.
Keep it going.
To quick it up. Instead of being a refined world where everyone plays in super teams and the format gets solved real fast, Chris Bakula cut his teeth in a time when you kind of showed up with what you thought was good.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different skill set that, like, Chris Bakula got his 3 Pro Tour top 8s at a time where it was
flying
just him.
Solo.
Yeah, him, his deck, and arguing against cheating. That's all he had.
Yeah, no.
And he...
I completely agree with that. That's why I say a top 8 is a top 8.
Right.
Nothing should be taken away from him saying, well, it's a different design, a different era. Well, yeah, it's a different era, but you know what? He's still able to do it.
Right. He's still an intense Magic player. Does he have, you know, a whole Hall of Fame worth that Johnny Magic has in the new era? Maybe not.
No, not new era, but he definitely showed that he could hang with the best.
Yeah, and who knows what Magic would look like right now beyond his Pro Tour top 8s,
mm-hmm.
what it would look like right now without him. So for that, he's got my life.
Well, yeah, I use Audacity. Yes. Stefu!
Otherwise, I have editing software if you need
no,
it.
No, I have it.
Which software do you have?
Me?
Yeah.
I use Sony Vegas Movie Maker.
Ooh.
Mm.
That's the good one.
It's not the expensive one. It's the cheaper of the paid for ones.
It's still better than most of the free ones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely better than Audacity, probably.
So when I used to do Let's Plays, I would record with Audacity,
mm-hmm.
my voice, and record the game with Fraps.
Do have to stop it.
Yep.
And then I would edit it together in Vegas.
We can make it the Twin Lakes.
So.
I have OBS, but that's about it right now.
Mm. OBS isn't bad.
That's not a recording software. That's just
no,
it
but
broadcasting.
It isn't. Well, you can kind of sort of get away with using
it. Guys, stop breathing.
But yeah. Okay. It's been ages since I've opened it up. Because I haven't done a Let's Play since whatever the last thing I did with a friend of mine as a group Let's Play.
Okay, you can breathe again, dumbass.
What have I recorded or what do I play?
What
in
do
general?
You play?
Lately I've...
Well, I mean, what genre, I guess I should ask.
So usually it's... Usually most of the gaming I play is Pokemon and
okay.
Magic. But I've done a full Saints Row 3 and 4 Let's Play with a friend.
Uh-huh.
And Battle Block Theater.
Oh,
such a good game.
Oh, yeah, so, Battle Block Theater, right? I know what you're talking about.
The fun thing about that game, though, halfway through our recording, we watched a speedrun of it where they were using speedrun techniques. And I was pissing my friend off so bad.
Because he was trying to use them?
No, he was trying to use them, and I'm like, watch this, hold my beer. And then I do it first try on video.
Did you say in the recording,
like,
hold my beer?
No, that wasn't a meme at the time. But, like, there's one where you...
Oh, that's a long time ago, then.
Basically, if you've ever played Battle Block Theater, there's no. some parts with ice... It's a platformer.
I've never played it.
It's a lot
some
of fun.
Parts of it with ice. In one level, you can glitch through a wall by going fast enough, but you basically have to use one of the powers, and you have to be on the right pixel. And he's, like, sitting there... He's like, no, we can do this and glitch into the secret zone here. And he's trying. He tried it, like, 5 times. He's like, I give up. I'm like, let me try it once. I do it once, do it first time, glitch through the wall with the power.
Have you watched the video how to beat Pokemon Blue in 23 minutes?
I've seen, you can beat Yellow in less than a minute in game time.
Oh my god.
You use menu manipulation.
Yep, that's what it is.
I mean, Games Done Quick is doing their summer event right now.
Yeah, I need to watch more of it. I love watching Games Done Quick. Well, there was a while I was actually learning Donkey Kong 64 speedrun strats. I can moon kick in that game. Hey, I love that game. Have you guys ever played that?
No.
I played it for about a half an hour, and it became too challenging to play.
Walls are just a suggestion in that game.
Have you seen the SNES Classic?
I want it so bad.
Unfortunately, you'll never actually be able to get it, just like the Nintendo.
Yeah.
I want it.
Because they can't make enough of them.
They said they're going to make more of them through the rest of this year, but Bob is also right.
No, Nintendo's already stopped producing the NES Classic.
Right, no, I'm saying the SNES Classic.
Yeah, they just announced that they might have started production. They're never going to have enough to satisfy.
Never.
No.
And that's what's retarded.
I've had my eyes on the pre-order page, because for $80, if I can do it, I'm picking it up.
I'd rather just go out.
Try the Amazon Prime trick.
Just set the bot to keep clicking it until it triggers.
Just go build your own.
That's true.
Yeah, get a
NVIDIA Shield.
Oh, Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, get that and just load it with emulators. You get a million games.
You can build it for the same. Build it for the $80. You can build it with a screen.
But I'm an Nintendo
junkie. AJ, slow down when you're talking. You're stuttering.
You could build it with a screen for the $80 it would cost to get the SNES Classic.
Yeah, but I'm a Nintendo junkie.
So am I.
For me, it's like.
But I'm not gonna play the game of. Look, some scalper got 400 SNES Classics, and now he wants $300 a piece.
I'm not going to babysit the pre-order page. If I get lucky and stumble in the right time to the pre-order, I'll buy myself one.
Nintendo is the exact reason piracy happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is the demand. They refuse to meet it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people are driven to piracy.
I have a Switch. It actually came Wednesday this week. The way I got it was I had to watch GameStop until they finally came out with a bundle that had everything at MSRP, because I was not paying scalping price for it.
No.
Well, did you hear about the Prime screw-up? Well, not really screw-up, but on the day that the SNES came out, not the SNES, the Switch came out.
Oh, the Switch.
Yeah, when the Switch came out, Prime was selling them. And it had stock of them.
Yeah, I saw that. I was trying to. A friend of mine was looking at buying them, and he's like, "I don't know if I want to go through Amazon." I'm like, "Dude, it's MSRP. They're not going to last."
Yeah.
And he's like, "I don't know." Ultimately, he ends up buying it from Amazon after they fixed that. And I'm like, "Dude."
I think that's how my buddy got his.
He's like, "I couldn't find it anywhere." I'm like, "I know. I tried to tell you that
Amazon
2 weeks ago."
Prime Day is coming on the 11th.
They've been doing giveaways all week.
And I actually have my mom's Amazon Prime account now. Mm-hmm. I've been using it to watch all the streaming stuff.
Is there anything good? Because I do also have Prime.
They've been giving away tablets.
The Grand Tour.
Yeah, have you not watched The Grand Tour, man?
Oh, for
sorry, what? Wait. Have you watched Top Gear?
Yes, have you watched the original Top Gear from the UK?
I've seen it. Oh, I'm just texting that I'm on my way. That I'm done.
The Top Gear UK.
I have not. I'm not. My roommate used to watch a lot of that. I didn't really get into it.
You don't have to be a car guy to enjoy it.
I've seen a bit of it from him. It just didn't.
A lot.
It was okay.
Oh my god.
A lot of it was just British guys screwing around.
Yes.
Go to sleep, phone. Thank you.
There's that. One that I enjoyed as a racing fan, Le Mans Racing Is Life, was really good. It was all about the 2015 Le Mans where there was like 8 manufacturers.
Don't you also get Rick and Morty through. Amazon Prime?
Is that on Prime?
I forgot about that. I have not looked.
I don't know if they're Hulu or Prime, but I...
If it's in Prime, I might just binge that.
Yeah. If it's Hulu, no.
Especially since my parents just got a new 55-inch smart TV.
Well, Rick and Morty is on a free site, by the way.
Yeah.
You can find it on a free site.
But I mean, if it's on Amazon Prime, I'll do it through the Amazon Prime, which likely has better quality.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Since I have it.
I mean,
and he also supports.
I use my PS3 to stream almost everything. The one show that I've really started to enjoy, Glow, off of Netflix.
Hmm. What's it about?
Female wrestlers in, like, the 70s and 80s.
Of course.
It's hilarious!
Don't of course him. Those ladies are tough.
But it's just...
I mean, AJ, do you realize wrestlers are super strong?
Oh, I know.
They're landing on 3/4 to 1 inch plywood all day.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she could kick our asses, probably. Yeah. Maybe not Max.
It's all about the origins of female wrestling.
There's a lot of ass there.
And it's hilarious.
It would take a while, but...
Did you ever watch that 70s show, Jacob?
I hate that show.
What?
I don't really like sitcoms, to be honest.
Because, like, The Ranch on Netflix?
I mean,
like, real talk, among sitcoms, That 70s Show is one of the most tolerable. But I just, they just all feel so fake, and I...
The Ranch on Netflix.
The only sitcom I really liked was Friends.
I hate Friends, that's the worst
Ashton one. Kutcher and Danny Masterson hide in Kelso. They are brothers on a ranch helping their father. And Kelso has been away for 15 years from the family farm, so it's him coming back to the ranching business. The father is Sam Elliott. If you've ever seen him.
I recognize the name, but I'm not good with putting actor names to faces.
If you
General Old Man.
Yes, General Old Man.
Okay.
If you generic old man, done.
I'm just going to imagine Colonel Potter from MASH and get there.
Kind of. add the stereotypical rancher mustache.
All right, I like it. I like him already.
And I mean, watch the first episode. It's only a half hour. It's hilarious.
I don't have Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime?
No, it's only on Netflix. It's Netflix exclusive.
We're looking at getting it. We just need to convince my father that we don't want cable.
My wife and I cut cable in 2010. Right,
what cable are you using right now?
Unfortunately, whatever Time Warner's become. Whatever that's
Spectrum.
Called. Spectrum.
You, through Spectrum, you should actually have a Netflix account.
Really?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It depends on the charter.
I was going to say, I don't think we would, if only because we've had this account since it was Time Warner.
Yeah, because my grandparents have Charter, Spectrum, and...
I don't know, when they switch over the accounts and all that, while you may maintain your same, like, pay and all that, when the accounts switch over... They can add when they add on things. You should look into it.
Mention it to them to have it to look, but and it could also be like it takes one phone call and be like, hey, we're an old Time Warner customer.
Yeah.
Fix this.
Well, in all honesty, my wife and I we cut the cable in 2010.
Yeah,
we've only had broadcast. I went out got an $80 antenna, and we get 70 channels between Milwaukee, Chicago, and even down into Gary, Indiana.
That's not bad.
We haven't had cable in my house since.
I
freaking AFV. I haven't.
My wife and I, we do more streaming than anything.
Yeah, same.
I am expecting them to be part of the cord never generation, as it's called. They will never have cable TV. They will only have internet.
So, I mean, I don't think I sat down and watched cable TV at all regularly since I was in high school.
Yeah.
I have a cable in my room that could connect me to cable.
You just don't have.
And I have a TV. And I could.
I mean, though.
I just have not.
Cared. No, I haven't had cable TV since my eighth grade year.
Hey, AJ.
Okay.
Slow. My eighth grade year was my last cable TV, and that's when it shut off while we were watching AFV. And that was the last time we had cable in our house.
By the way, while I'm thinking about it, I do want to put together a second EDH deck for next weekend, no matter whatever we end up doing. Probably.
Yaleva.
I was going to ask. Do you want me to try to put that back together? Because it doesn't. It doesn't actually use too much that overlaps with Damia, surprisingly. Because Damia is mostly a green enchantment deck, and a lot of the blue and black stuff, I have dupes.
I want you to build Yaleva Storm, and then one of these days you got to come down and play it. Because I want to see you just be like, Yaleva for 12, exile 12 cards.
Each.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Like, she's so fun and so underrated. She's not the best Grixis commander, but...
She's fun.
She's a lot of fun.
Because... Like,
and she makes Oblivion Sower just
amazing. Well, in September, when the Fatal Push promo is being given away, I don't know if you know the card.
I love the card. I want that's on my list. Maybe it doesn't make my cube.
Push doesn't make your cube.
I mean, it probably does, but it's like
it should.
It's the same kind of thing. Like, how good is Fatal Push in Limited?
Amazing.
Really great.
Yeah.
Especially I haven't something because it hits Deathrite. Dark Confidant, Stoneforge.
I don't have Deathrite.
Well, it actually could make it a somewhat bad pick due to the meta.
Because
while in
Young Pyro
in constructed formats,
I guess
Fatal Push is a well.
Cube is a limited constructed.
What's the thing?
It's
so
the kind of thing though. Like the only reason I'm not 100% sold, I have a lot of spot removal already, and admittedly, Fatal Push is among the like most mana efficient. But like,
well, the
how much mana efficiency am I willing to sacrifice, or gain at the sacrifice of not being able to kill Prime Times and Grave Titans and whatever other big things.
Well, that's the thing. Well, in Constructed, Fatal Push is just a great card.
Oh, yeah. And
but when
modern,
you get switched to the... Well, yeah. When you switch to the limited format, when you choose to pick Fatal Push, you're assuming that nothing really big is going to be... You're not going to have to worry about anything big coming down on you.
Right.
The biggest thing it hits is a 4-drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. Triggering Revolt isn't guaranteed. It's... Sure, I have the 10 fetch lands, but that's 10 fetch lands in a 375-card cube.
But it's also... And if anything gets removed.
Yeah. Right. So, like, I'm not saying it's impossible, but...
I've thrown creatures under the bus and been like, yep, we'll push something else.
Oh, yeah.
Or you wait for your opponent to kill something.
Right. Yeah.
I threw, what was it?
But it's... There is still a little bit of awkward play to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... But it's still... The card is either bomb good...
Yeah. It's...
Or useless.
I mean, still definitely better than Doomblade.
And that's not really the question. That's really not the question. The whole thing is how light a threat do you think your opponent's deck is going to be? Right. Fatal Push rewards it or punishes it?
And the other thing, too, is to me, the card it competes with in my cube is something like Vendetta, where you can always kill anything, but you're losing life for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Orzhov Charm?
I don't run it.
I think you should put that in.
It's been in on and off. The issue with multicolor is I have a lot of multicolor I want to run, but not a lot of space before I drown out the cube with it. Like, I have to be careful with my multicolor. Each guild has six cards that they get. I like having one planeswalker each to take up one of them, and then I have five other slots, and it's like, Orzhov Charm is good, and I love the flexibility, and like, it's hard to undervalue how good a charm can be, right? Because they just are so flexible. But it's like, because some charms are fantastic, and their auto includes never leaving my cube. Is it charm is pretty decent, and my is it's kind of hit and miss already. So is it charm's an easy include, right? Boros Charm is, I mean, even when it's just 4 damage, that's
perfectly fine in the red-white burn deck.
Right, and the fact that sometimes, you know, you might make your team indestructible or whatever the other mode is on that deck, that card.
It's indestructible, double strike, or 4 damage.
Yeah, the fact that sometimes maybe that's what you do when the 4 damage isn't good makes that a great card.
Mm-hmm.
Even despite the fact that my cube isn't the fastest, I don't really have a dedicated mono-red aggro deck or something.
I mean, the only fastest when I first pick Sword of Fire and Ice almost every time.
You always get that, man.
We were playing our friend Marshall's cube when he was back. And I pack one, picked one, Black Lotus.
Time to get up.
Yeah, time to get 4.
Starting with the Black Lotus feels good. It's not the best start, I imagine, but it's a very good card.
Pack 2, pick 1, goes Mana Crypt.
All right, now that's basically Sol Ring.
Better than Sol Ring.
I mean, yeah, mostly.
Pack 3?
Gives your opponent a win con.
Pack 3, I pick Maelstrom Wanderer, pick 1.
You found your plan.
And I get past Mirror Battlesphere.
Oh. It's going to be one of those kind. See, I love powered cubes, but I don't want to... Those are the kind of cubes that...
You draft once or twice, and you're good.
Every now and then, it's like, yeah, but now I need to cleanse my palate with a Legacy-style cube.
The first game, I'm playing against our friend Carl's cousin, and he drafted, like, a black-white...
Oh, God, I remember this one,
deck.
Too.
And we're just going back and forth, and I'm, like, one mana off of casting Maelstrom Wanderer on, like, turn 5.
Uh-huh.
His turn 3 is Crucible Worlds into Armageddon off of Mana Dorks. I'm like, I'm screwed. And then he goes, next turn I play a land, he goes, Strip Mine.
That sounds...
I'm like, I lose. I can't beat that.
That sounds like that one EDH game, you, me, and Josh, and I was playing Maelstrom Wanderer.
Oh,
you remember this
one?
I was doing him dirty that day.
I mean...
So, turn 4, I cast Maelstrom Wanderer, I reveal Crucible Worlds and Wildfire.
Yeah.
Because that's fair.
Josh was playing Prophet of Kruvix, one mana away from casting it. Bob was playing Sharoom. And I'm just like, casual 7-5 turn 4, no one has lands, except I get to play lands from my graveyard.
Oh my god, that was so unbearable.
Well, yeah, it's like freaking. I'm sitting next to him. I see he goes Armageddon, and I look at the field.
I lose.
I'm like, oh wow, something loses their lands, and I happen to look and see in the Crucible Worlds. I'm like, oh god.
So I side in, end up bringing in all my blue spells for counter magic. I played a turn five Maelstrom Wanderer, hitting one of the five drop dragons that's out of like M13 or 14. When it comes into play, tap all, deal one damage to all the creatures with flying.
Thunder
Maw Hellkite.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another one out of the monstrous. The one that monstrous.
The Stormbreath Regents.
Yeah, Stormbreath Dragon. I bring both of those with Maelstrom Wanderer.
The boys are back in town again.
Yep. So I kill him. Kill him game three. Kind of the same thing. Max and I play.
Yeah.
Max gets me game one.
I was playing
I get him game two.
I was playing a four-color Eureka deck.
See, that line of play reminds me of watching LSV do the Legendary Cube on Modo.
Okay.
I don't know how much of that you've seen.
Over the list. I didn't see too much.
That was a format where Maelstrom Wanderer was automatic first pick territory.
I mean, every cube he's been...
Sorry, actually, my draft pick was Reanimator Eureka.
All the creatures in this cube have to be legendary creatures, first of all. The mana acceleration is a little light, but there's some of it. It's otherwise a fairly slow cube.
Unless you have Maelstrom Wanderer.
And well, it's still slow, because you're probably not casting it until, like, turn five on a good hand, right? But when you do, man, everything is slow, big, and... Yeah.
Well, game three against Max, he has me down to two.
Yeah, I think.
And it's like, I draw, getting Black Lotus, which puts me into seven or eight mana for Maelstrom Wanderer in hand. Which brings with it... Or my first card was Brainstorm, which I'm like, I'm not even going to worry casting. And then I bring Mirror Battlesphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, swing for 20!
So I was playing Yidris. And you know what's better than casting Maelstrom Wanderer and getting two Cascade Triggers?
Getting four.
If you give Yidris Double Strike.
That's what I want her to do, is give him Double Strike and be like, yeah, I'll Cascade four off
there's this. So my deck on Moto is super budget. But there's this enchantment out of Eldritch Moon that at the beginning of your upkeep, give a creature double strike. Or beginning of combat, excuse me. And so I'm like, casually give Yidris double strike. Attack, he's like, a friend of mine's like, yeah, I'll block it with and only take, and it tramples over and then you get double strike, whatever. And I'm like, okay. Maelstrom Wanderer, cascade, 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 cascade. He's like, that works like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Ouch. So, like, it's not like the top of my library was manipulated at all, but damn if it doesn't feel good to have four Cascade Triggers on the stack. Like, if you ever have a chance, it comes recommended.
The problem is freaking Commander 2016s. People are just stockpiling them.
Yeah.
I found the Breed Lethality.
I imagine people are just snapping those up.
At Walmart.
Ooh.
I mean, yeah, so I got it for MSRP, but I can't find any of the other ones. I just want a Yidris, but I don't want to spend $20 on just him.
I saw Yidris at Walmart a few weeks ago, and I wanted to pick it up. It wasn't just that it was Yidris. I'm still kicking myself I didn't pick it up. It was a Russian deck at the Walmart in Burlington, and they still have the...
What?
They still have two of the commander decks in Russian at that Walmart, but it's the Group Hug and the Saskia.
Oh my commanders. God! I want the I want Vile Smasher.
Yeah, and that's why I knew I should have picked it up. I was stupid for not.
Even if you just sat on it.
Yeah, especially in Russian, because that's so cool. But at the time, I'm like, I don't have it.
You got a lot of editing to do.
Yeah, I do. Let alone the freaking 6-hour, how it didn't... I saw it shut down and end the recording.
And then it started again.
And then it started again. So I don't know if I hit pause on accident. Probably. But even though I saw it stop, I hit the stop button and I saw it stop. So I don't know how it was running. Nor did I see another file sitting there. So I don't know if like it started a new one after I ended the first one.
It's possible.
But...
we're good.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to go scrub, like, cut into an hour and then be like, all right, where does it end? Where does it end? All right, cut the rest.
Oh, holy crap. God, Storm is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, yeah. It definitely has its weird non-buffs. At least now you got to the point where you can combo off if you're going to start.
Yeah, it's...
You don't usually brick as... You don't really brick anymore.
I mean, the only time I can remember bricking lately is, like, against Spencer where I passed in flames 3 times.
Yeah.
But that's also because I was getting greedy, and I couldn't find a second Infernal Tutor when he had a death rate, and he ate the first one.
Mm.
So, I was expecting to brick, but I was hoping to be able to be, like, preordain, and out of those... 5-6 cards,
mm-hmm.
be able to find one tutor to be able to go off and finish it, but I didn't, so, but it happens, as I said, yeah. I'm still learning the deck.
I mean, yeah, you definitely got to the point where you're not going to re-break it as much, but.
Yeah, no, it's, I think the main thing is remembering of, if I flip a Past in Flames with a Lion's Eye Diamond, I can still go off.
Yeah.
Like, I know I threw a game away against that Black-Red Reanimator, and I should have stopped when I was at 4, because I had double LED and Pass in Flames at 3, and I'm like, let's keep going with the Ad Nauseam, and I flipped my second Pass in Flames to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I could have won.
Should have, could have, would have. Yep. Well, you learned it from it, so. I mean, I've got to the point now where I can actually start the combo and finish the combo.
Just learning the different paths.
Well, yeah. I'm to the point where I know, well, somewhat know what hands to keep, what hands not to. Well, tonight it was just like, I was just like a turn away. One, either you're stripping the cards from my hand, pushing me back a turn, or...
comboing off the turn before.
Or comboing off the turn before. And I think that's kind of a fair way to actually test Storm, is having someone test Storm in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's just like... while you're not really goldfishing, you're definitely setting the precedent for the turns and shutting down the...
The one night that you were playing just random stuff and Stan sat next to me watching me storm off against you,
mm-hmm.
I learned so much that, like, that it was the second week that I had Storm together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, holy crap, I got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, right now, I just... pretty much every chance I get, I'm checking the Ad Nauseam Tendrils Facebook group just to see what's going on and be like, okay, because like David L. Beyer posted,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm looking for situations of what to do for paths or keep or no keep. So there's this, like, 150 comments right now about opening hands and moles to F5 and what do you keep, what do you ship.
Mm-hmm.
So just endless possibilities.
But no, and at the same time, when playing Painter, I've got to the point now where I'm not so gung-ho in activating the combo. I'm actually smart about getting things done, hiding info, and... as much as, like, unfortunately, the way I've built my Painter is I'll reveal what deck I'm on by turn one.
I mean, that's the way that most Painters work, Max.
Yeah. But... there's not many decks that can reveal themselves completely on turn one.
I mean, your only really option is like a turn one Blood Moon. People can either put you on Painter,
Big Red, or this new
Mono Stompy.
Or Mono Stompy, yeah.
Which still narrows it down a lot.
Or that random guy that's playing Blood Moon in the Sneaky Show.
Nobody, no Sneaky Shows have room to run it in the main.
Well, yeah, that's true. But again, we've met a lot of people. It's not like it hasn't happened before.
Yeah. I don't know. Next week, I'm going to talk to Josh and find out if he wants to go down after hearing positive things from Jacob, or if he wants to go to Lake Geneva.
Well, yeah.
He'll probably want to go to Lake Lake Geneva.
As much as I don't want to go to Lake Geneva, it's still...
I mean,
it wasn't too horrible the last time we were there.
I mean, I would go to hang out with Josh and Jacob, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if Mark tries to give any sass, I'll just be like, get out of my way. I'm not here to spend money, I'm here to hang out with friends.
Mm-hmm. I do think I need to do something about my commander situation. Because while it is true, having Nekusar, yeah, it's my deck I'm going to play. But when we're doing grinding multiple commander games and not just a couple few...
It does get annoying.
After playing a couple of Nekusars, it is kind of weird. But I do like it when we are playing with smart people. Like, obviously, if we're going to be playing with the four of us, I want to at least have some standings with the with everyone. So playing Nekusar gets me in that same boat. While playing any other deck, it's going to be like, oh, here, I'm BattleBots. Go! Arr! And you're just like, the turn before, combo, done. Aww. Like, again, today, the one guy didn't even want to play with us because we're because of the caliber of what we're playing at. Nah, we just... Not just the last game. We didn't only do 36 damage in one turn. Come on.
I mean...
By making you draw cards. not at all. I was still quite surprised on how well Bronner was able to get him out of certain, get himself out of certain situations.
He's tricky, dude. He is really good when he has the right setup.
Oh yeah, he definitely had the cards when he needed them. Shit, he stared down a Force Fruition. And won.